Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. And God, as we get ready to study your word and to proclaim your word, may you bless it today. We thank you for being here with us in our presence and for leading us and guiding us. And Lord, may you be honored today in all that we do. And we pray in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people prayed, amen. Give God a praise clap, for he's good and he's awesome. You know, I'll tell you, our praise man is doing an awesome job, and thankful for them and for them serving and leading us in worship. Good job this morning, guys. I appreciate all of you all. Yeah, they're doing a good job, aren't they? We thank the Lord for them. Today, we're finishing up our last series, in our last sermon in the series, Resolution Revolution. And we've talked about what God is wanting for us in 2013, and what the Lord is maybe leading us to in this new year. And we've talked about a lot of things. We've resolved to begin a relationship with Jesus. And maybe if you've not done that yet, I pray that you will today, that you give your heart to Christ. We talked about that. We resolved the need to grow, the need to be connected, the need to worship, the need to serve. We've talked about all these things and how we need to apply those in our walk with God and to live for the Lord. So I hope that you're doing that. I hope that you are starting 2013 off in a great way of being active in church, growing in your quiet time with the Lord and worshiping God and serving. And you know, I want to conclude this series today with a topic that is passionate on my heart. And that is the topic of evangelism. And I know that's a new word for some of you guys, evangelism. And what do you think about that? You hear evangelism, you think of some hokey TV preacher, a TV evangelist that wants your money, right? That's what you think of. But evangelism is not that. Evangelism is simply the spreading of good news. It means the telling of good news, evangelism, the sharing of Jesus. And Jesus is so wonderful, he's so great, he's so awesome, he needs to be shared. Amen on that one. He needs to be told. So I hope and pray that as we're growing in Christ, as we're serving the Lord, as we are being connected to the church, and we're worshiping God in 2013, we are also telling other people about Jesus in the process as well. Mark read our passage to us, and if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 19. And it's also on your program. You can read it there in your program, and it'll also be on the screen. And Mark has already read the scripture for us, but he tells us the story of a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. For the Lord he wanted to see, is that right? And he climbed up in a sycamore tree, right? For the Lord he wanted to see. Hey, yeah, that's how it goes, right? And we talked, my little girl who'll be 3 in March, she knows every word to that, but apparently Daddy is messing that up today. But the wee little man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, what do you know about Zac except the fact that he was a wee little man? There was more to Zacchaeus in that story. Let me give you the background to it. Jesus is walking into Jericho. His disciples are with him. He is proceeding forward to Jerusalem, where he will die a sacrificial death for us. That's where he's on his way to. And he's passing through Jericho. A crowd, as normal, whenever Jesus went to a place, began to follow Jesus and surround themselves around Jesus. And here was this wee little man. But not only was he a wee little man in stature, small in stature, he was also a tax collector. Now, real quick, when I say taxes are coming, how does that make you feel? Real happy, right? Taxes. Everybody loves taxes, right? Well, guess what? Back then, they didn't like taxes either. And you especially didn't like the tax collector. Now, here's why you didn't like the tax collector if you lived in ancient Israel. And the reason for that is that at the time, Rome was the occupying country. Rome, they had ground troops all over Israel. And they were basically telling Israel what to do. So the Jewish people, the Israelite people, they didn't like the Romans. I mean, they were the military police, so to speak, always walking the streets, always telling them what to do. And the tax collectors, who were Jewish, the tax collectors, homegrown, worked directly for Rome. Now, you just think about that real quick. Not only is Zacchaeus a tax collector, he works for what you would consider the enemy. He would be considered a traitor. So not only was he a wee little man, I mean, you're talking about a guy that was, you know, connected. You know, it'd just be like, hey, Al-Qaeda's coming to collect your taxes. Everybody happy about that, you know? That's how you would feel about Zacchaeus. I mean, nobody liked the guy. Nobody liked tax collectors, and they especially didn't like Zacchaeus because not only was he working for the enemy, working for the occupying country, he was betraying his own people. You ready for this? It goes a little bit further. He was also a thief. He stole from people. The Romans said, hey, listen, you owe us X amount of money. That's all we care. You collect what you want. Give us what we need. The end. So that's exactly what he did. He collected more money than he was supposed to give to the enemy against his own brothers in the nation. You know, you follow me on this? And he, what did he do with the rest of it? Well, he pocketed. You know, here's a little bitty dude who likes a lot of money. And he really doesn't care about his heritage. He doesn't care about his brothers. He doesn't care about his country. Could really care less. And for whatever reason, when Jesus comes to town, little Zach wants to see Jesus. I don't know why. But the crowd begins to gather, and Zach, he can't jump over to see the people. He's trying, and I don't know why he didn't look between their legs, but he can't see Jesus. He can't see Jesus. So what does he do? He climbs up in that tree, the sycamore tree, which, by the way, can grow up to 30 to 40 feet high, a sycamore tree can, and they have low-lying branches. So that's why he was able to climb. The branches are low, but it's a very big tree. So he was able to get in those branches, and he climbed up that tree. And can't you just see him looking out over that crowd? And all of a sudden, Jesus stops, and he sees the little dude up in the tree, probably decked out in really nice clothes, okay? Probably a really weird sight. And he says, Zach, get out of the tree. Come on down, for I'm coming to your house to stay. And, of course, if Zacchaeus did that, and Jesus went on to proclaim later, and you read in the text, he declares why he's there. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, Zacchaeus didn't know the Lord. But Zacchaeus had an experience with the Lord while in that tree. Whatever happened in that tree, he trusted in Jesus. And at that moment, Zach is no longer a thief. He's no longer a swindler. He's loyal. He's giving back. We're going to get into that here in a second. But Zach wanted to see Jesus. But when the crowd heard of Zach's conversion, they complained. They didn't like it. They said, why in the world would Jesus go and stay with a dude like that? He's a traitor. I mean, he's working for terrorist Rome. I mean, this is a guy who rips off from us, and then Christ boldly says that he has come to seek out the lost. You know, as I look at the heart of Jesus, isn't it awesome when you look at Jesus Christ, that he's willing to go to the people that nobody else wants to go to? Isn't that awesome? I mean, the religious people, they don't want to touch Zacchaeus with a 30-foot pole. They don't want to go near him. They would rather for Zacchaeus just to die and burn in hell. That's what they want. You know, better off. If he goes to hell, better off if that happens. That's what they want, but not Jesus. Jesus is willing to hang out with the drunks. He's willing to hang out with the prostitutes. He's willing to hang out with the tax collectors. Actually, one of his own disciples is a tax collector. Do you remember that? Remember Matthew? He wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He too was a crooked tax collector. Maybe Zacchaeus and Matthew were friends. Maybe that's why Zach wanted a view of Jesus. I don't know. What I do know is that Christ has a heart for people that don't know him. And today, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know, oh, the Lord loves you. Maybe today no one's ever told you that Jesus loves you, but he does. You know, we teach Zacchaeus was a wee little man to our children, and we also teach them that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and it's absolutely true. The Lord loves you, and Christ is seeking for you today. He's looking for you to give you a personal relationship with him so you can be saved and forgiven and have peace in your life. And that is the heart of Jesus Christ, to go to those people that no one else would go to. And aren't you glad if you do know Jesus, he came to you? Aren't you glad for that? He saved you today if you have trusted and repented of your sin and turned to Christ. He has saved you, and that's so wonderful. And if we're going to get to the heart of God, to the heart of Jesus, you know that little phrase, underline it in your Bible, circle it, write it in your notes. But Jesus told us that he has come to seek and to save the lost. The lost. Kenny, who are the lost? Well, the lost are people that don't know Jesus. They're the ones that don't know Christ. They're the ones that need Jesus. They see, they're lost in this world without Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They're lost. They're confused. They don't know where they're going. Now, I just want you to know, people needed Jesus 2,000 years ago, and they still need Jesus today. Did you know that? People still need Jesus right now. The last time I checked, the Bible still says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, the Bible tells us. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You know what that tells me? That tells me that nobody can go to heaven unless they know Jesus. And if that wasn't strong enough, he said it two times, John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. See, it is 2,000 years later, and people still only go to heaven through Jesus. Well, Kenny, that seems real narrow, but hey, here's the reality. That's what he said. It's either Jesus or nothing today. It's either a personal relationship with you. All roads don't get there, guys. That doesn't make sense. I've never understood the people say, well, all roads lead to the same place. Really? So you're telling me if I wanted to go to California and I jumped on I-65 North, I'm going to get there? Really? That's going to happen? All roads lead to the same place. Really? And that ain't the way it works. See, Jesus is the only road that leads to heaven. He's the Son of God, God in flesh, and it's just through Jesus. And if we want the heart of Jesus today, the heart of Christ, it's an evangelistic heart, or it's a sharing of the good news heart. It is telling people that they need to be saved and that we all need Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. The Great Commission, going to all the nations, baptizing, teaching, preaching, tell these dudes about Jesus. That's what the Great Commission is about. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. We are to tell people about Jesus. Now, think about Zach, a guy that needed Jesus, but he couldn't see Jesus. Why couldn't Zach see Jesus? Somebody tell me. Why couldn't he see Jesus? Short. He vertically challenged, Greg. I like that. And maybe some of you guys that could relate to Zach, you might say that I'm vertically challenged is what you might say. He was short, but what else got in his way? What got in his way? Somebody tell me. Sin, yeah, but what happened physically that got in his way? People. People got in his way. People got in his way. Did you know today there are some people that need to come to Christ, but people are getting in their way? People are getting in their way for coming to Jesus. People are getting in the way. So here's the big question if you're following along your notes. People need Jesus, all right? Here we go. We can either be a hindrance or a help to people coming to know Jesus. We can either hinder them or we can help them come to Jesus. You can either be a crowd or a tree that lifts up. We're going to talk more about that hindrance. I want to be a tree today more than somebody who has my back turned on somebody that needs to see Jesus Christ. I think you can learn a lot about seeking the lost from the story of Zach. I think you can learn a lot from that. First, if you follow in your notes, I want you to see that Zach wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. We read in verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, the Bible tells us. He was trying, you catch this part, he was trying to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see Jesus, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. Pause for a moment. Just wrap your brain around this scene in real life, okay? Let's think about what this really was like in real history, in real life, okay? You have an employee of Rome who's stinking rich. He works for a government job. He's stinking rich. Just take a guess. Does this guy get his hands dirty, yes or no? Probably not. All right, probably not, okay? On top of that, he was a short guy. Now listen, I don't want to insult our vertically challenged brothers in this room today, okay? That is not my goal. But I've been around some vertically challenged people. I, too, am only 5-something. You know, I'm not very tall myself, okay? So with me saying that, I hear you. I relate. I, too, couldn't get on the roller coaster till I was a little bit bigger, okay? So I hear you, okay? But sometimes little dudes don't like to be told what to do. And they don't submit themselves to nobody. They don't do this. They don't do that. Just think about Zach. He was vertically challenged, all right? He was stinking rich. He had a government job. He's doing all right. He's a thief. Do you think he just beats on the door to see anybody? Don't think so. people see him. People come to him. He's got the biggest house. He's got the biggest herd of camels. He's got everything. Probably so. Big dude. So here we see Zach, short dude. And what is he doing? Now, I just want you to notice this. He is running to see Jesus. Zach don't run for nothing. But he's running. The Bible tells us that he's running. That is very important that that's in there. Because it's telling you that he's throwing off all these titles. It could possibly be that in the running, the conversion is happening. That he's forgetting about the titles. He's forgetting about where he's been. He's forgetting all this stuff. And he wants to see Jesus. He's running. Something about Jesus drew Zach to Jesus. Maybe Zach, in all of his riches and all of his money, couldn't find the freedom from guilt that he needed in his life. Maybe Zach laid awake at night feeling guilty for all the stuff he did. More likely, he probably did. Maybe Zach didn't feel fulfilled in his life, in the money and the riches and the women and all the stuff to compensate for everything. Just didn't work, and he still felt empty. Maybe he lacked purpose. He had a good job. He had good money. He had all this stuff. People feared him. But yet he still didn't know what on earth he was here for. Maybe he just got to the point where he needed forgiveness. He needed forgiveness. He didn't know where else to turn. So when he heard Jesus was coming, he was ready. And he took off. And he ran to see Jesus. Now I want you to know that there are people out there today that we view as Zacchaeuses. And this is what we say. They're living in the world. They're doing this. They're involved in that. They're doing this and that. If I tell them about Jesus, they are not going to want to hear what I have to say. I want to just pop everybody's bubble this morning if I can. One of the biggest lies that the devil throws out there for us is this. They don't want to hear it. I just let that sink in for a second. One of the biggest lies that the devil puts on in our mind is that they don't want to hear what I'm saying. But I just want you to think back to your own personal life. Are you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Are you? You glad somebody took time to share? Now, what if they would have thought, well, I just don't want to tell them because they don't want to hear it. Well, aren't you glad somebody did anyway? See, when God's working on somebody, when he's moving on somebody's life, they want to hear. They want to hear. And it is our job and our responsibility to what? To tell them about Jesus. To tell them about what Jesus has done. There are people today that are knee-deep in sin. No, they're drowning in sin. I mean, they're in it. And you look at them and you think, man, there's no way they would ever want to give their heart to Christ. No way. Hey, don't go down that road. Hey, nobody's hopeless today. Nobody's hopeless. Nobody's hopeless. Don't you dare think, well, look how bad they are. There's no hope for them. Don't you dare think that, because there was hope for you, wasn't there? Wasn't there hope for you when Christ died for you on that cross so you could be saved? Don't write people off as hopeless today. Zach wasn't hopeless. God had a plan for Zach. Here's how we hinder. We hinder when we assume that no one wants to hear. We hinder when we think nobody wants to hear the truth. We hinder. We become a crowd that's blocking people to see Jesus. When we think nobody wants to hear. Now, let me just tell you this. Some don't, all right? I'm not telling you that if you go out there and start telling everybody about Jesus, that some people's going to laugh at you, make fun of you, ridicule you. That will happen too. But that's not everybody. You with me on that? That's not everybody. We hinder when we assume no one wants to hear. We help when we just tell people about Jesus. We help when we don't put titles on people as hopeless or possible potential contact or, you know, potential prospect, you know. We just tell people about Jesus. We hinder when we assume no one wants to hear. We help when we just tell everybody about Jesus, whether they want to hear it or not. But second, I want you to see this. Not only did Zach want to see Jesus, Jesus wanted to see Zach. Jesus wanted to see Zach. We look at verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, don't you like this? Jesus is looking up at the tree. Here's this dude decked out in all of his rich man garments. You know, a little dude hanging off of a tree. Crazy stuff. He says, hurry and come down today. I must stay at your house. Really? The only place Jesus could find was the home of a foreign, or the home of a tax collector who was as wicked as could be. No. He wanted to stay at his house. He had to stay at his house because it was a divine appointment to stay at his house. It was a God thing to happen. So look what happened. So he quickly came down and welcomed him, what? Joyfully. He came down out of the tree and Jesus welcomed him and Zach welcomed him. It was a good deal. Zach thought he was seeking Jesus. But Jesus was really seeking Zach. Now you need to understand this. This is really kind of wild. Christ has told us that he has come to seek and to save the lost. So that tells me that as much as Zach wanted to see Jesus, Jesus wanted to see Zach even more. He really did. He had to stay at his house because he came through Jericho for that purpose, to find Zach. Jesus wanted to see a thief become a giver. He wanted to see a traitor become loyal. He wanted to see an insecure man gain security. He wanted to see a sinner saved. Jesus wanted to see a lost man get found. That's what he wanted. That was the heart of Jesus. And Jesus, listen, Jesus accepted Zach. I want you to think about that. Jesus accepted Zach. He said, come on down. You're going to get saved. Come into your house. I'm accepting you. Now, we often, not only do we want to say that no one wants to see Jesus, we also want to say that Jesus can't help everybody. Now, we don't say that out loud because we're too churchy for that, right? But we believe it in our spirits, don't we? Well, they've been down that road. We've tried and we've tried and we've prayed and we've prayed. I guess God's just not able to help that person. Absolutely, he is. Now, we often think, though, in our spirit and in our flesh, that some people are beyond hope and they're beyond help. Even if God did, they pray to receive Christ or something. It's not real. It's fake. It's not genuine. But God is able. And God does have the power. God has the power to change a soul. Did you know that? God has the power. We have no power in ourselves. We are sinners by nature. We have no power in our own body. But Christ has the power to change us. Understand two things. God is working on people today outside of you. He's doing things in people's lives with or without you today. He's working on hearts of people that you've not even met yet. He's working. He's drawing them through His Spirit. He's doing things that you're not even aware of. But second, as much as He's working on them, He's also working on you too, to get you to the point to connect with that person. He's trying to get you to connect with that person, to tell that person about Jesus. Romans 10 tells us that faith comes through hearing the gospel. See, a person cannot be saved unless they know Jesus, and they can't hear about Jesus unless somebody tells them about Jesus. So God's already working on them, and He's working on you to get you to them, to tell them about Jesus. See, we hinder. Here's how we hinder in this situation. When we believe in our spirit that God can't help people. Did you catch that? We hinder when we believe God cannot help somebody. That's how we hinder. We help when we have faith and hope and we pray and believe that God can help people. Get it? Good. For some of you, all right? God can change people. Third, I want you to see this. Zach experienced salvation. Now we see, we get to the end of the story. All who saw it began to complain. You know, I joke, you know, we're a church plant. We're a new church, but we are a Baptist church. But we're all recovering Baptists in this room. Amen. You know, we're recovering Baptists in this room. And when I see all who saw it began to complain, yeah, they were Baptists, weren't they? Because whenever God is doing something, the Baptists gripe. They gripe and complain. He's gone to lodge with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Did you catch that? I'll give half of what I have to the poor. Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Think about that. Zacchaeus said two things. He's going to give half of what he has to the poor. That is not counting what he's going to pay back to people that he stole from. How much? Four times. What in the world happened to Zacchaeus? Well, Jesus tells us. He says right here, verse 9, today what has come to this house? Salvation. Zac got saved is what happened. He experienced Jesus. God forgave him. And new life came into Zac. He said, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, or to seek and to save the lost. We see here the heart of Jesus connecting with Zacchaeus. And as the heart of Jesus is connecting to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus experiences life change. When a person gives their heart to Christ and they invite Jesus into their heart and the Lord comes in, they are spiritually saved, which means that their sins are forgiven and they are adopted into the family of God. They become a child of God when they're saved. I believe also they're saved physically. I really do believe that. Their mind begins to think differently. They stop doing the sin they used to do, which is going to shorten their life. Shorten their life. And I've seen that happen. You know, people that were involved in sin, their lives are taken prematurely because of the sinful events that they're involved in. Sin shortens life. So they're saved physically. They're saved eternally. They have a home in heaven forever. Salvation is amazing. Salvation changes us. The vilest criminal can be saved. What about a murderer? Can a murderer be saved? What if I told you that the majority of the New Testament Bible was written by a murderer who was saved? Did you know that? Are you serious? Yeah, Paul. A guy who killed not only people but killed Christians wrote some of your Bible. God can change people. Isn't that awesome today? He can change people. God can save people. Now, here's how we hinder. We hinder when we criticize evangelistic efforts. Now, what do you mean by that, Kenny? Well, when we are trying to tell people about Jesus and help people come to know Jesus, and we start harping about churches not doing it the way that we think they should do it, we hinder. Hey, guys, listen, if it's outreach, it's outreach. Amen? If we're doing something in the name of Jesus, you can never spend enough money on a soul, right? You can never spend enough money on helping somebody come to know Jesus. Hey, listen, a lot of our churches, we're mixed up with our budgets. We have this amount of money for this and that and that and that, this and this and that. And when it comes to soul winning or evangelism, we have just a few dollars for that. What is wrong with that? There's a problem with that. We hinder when we criticize outreach and evangelistic efforts. We also hinder when we simply don't tell people, when we don't participate in evangelism. We help when we do participate in outreach and evangelism. We do help when we pray for that person that doesn't know Christ and we tell them about Jesus. Now, it all boils down to this. There's a lot of Zacchaeuses out there in this world today. There are. They want to see Jesus, but they're having a hard time of seeing Jesus. Something's blocking their view. In most cases, let me tell you what it is. It's blocking their view. Bad church experience. 9 out of 10 times that most people are blocked from seeing Jesus is because they saw hypocrisy in the church. They saw ministers that fell into sin. They saw this. They saw that. And they had just a bad, negative experience of church. Somebody treated them wrong in the church, et cetera, et cetera. That is probably the biggest reason why people don't come to know Jesus, because they think we're all a bunch of hypocrites. So we got to really pray and ask God to help us to prove them wrong on that we live out our faith genuinely and sincerely. But I want you to know that if we have been saved today by the grace of God, if we've been saved, we can help Zacchaeus out there come to know Jesus. I ask you this question. It's in your notes. And this is one that you need to ask right now. Do we have backs that are turned or shoulders that lift up? Are we ignoring the lostness behind us? Are we ignoring the people that live right next door to us that don't know Jesus? Are we ignoring? Are we not paying any attention? Do we have backs that are turned, or do we have shoulders that lift up? Wouldn't it have been a really... I know the climbing the tree thing is cool in the Bible, and that's what really happened. But wouldn't this story have even been better if the people in the crowd saw Zacchaeus, who's a sinner, who had ripped them off, who had done wrong to them, and they, in love and mercy, lift that short little man up to see Jesus? Wouldn't that have been cool? Wouldn't that have been neat? That's not what happened. The tree had to get Zacchaeus to see Jesus. Oh, let's not wait for a tree, guys. Let's be shoulders that lift up today. Let's do everything we can to help people know that Jesus loves them and can save them. So what do we do, Kenny? What do we do with this sermon? Let's take some next steps real quick. Are you praying for somebody that doesn't know Jesus? You need to start. You need to start praying for somebody that doesn't know Jesus. We handed out our Invest and Invite cards to give you three names last week to start praying for. Pray for those three people. Pray fervently. Start praying for people that don't know Jesus. Second, start serving that person. Remember, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. Take them out to eat. Have them in your house. Do nice things for them. Love them. Show them that you care. So pray for them. Serve them. Third, invite them to church. Take that step. Take a big, deep breath. Work up the courage, okay? Ask God to help you to invite them to church. Hey, Friends Day, next week, invite them to church. Utilize that. And here's your next step. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to be super articulate in the way that you say it. You don't have to have polished theology to do this. Just tell somebody what Christ has done for you. If he saved you, just say, hey, man, listen, I love you. Might be a little weird me telling you that, but I'm just telling you I love you. And I just want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. I believe in Jesus, and I wanted you to know that. That'll do more for somebody than you even imagine if you do that. Co-workers, friends. So today, as we conclude our sermon, who are you praying for? Who are you seeking out to help them know about Jesus? Maybe today you're in this room and you've never given your heart to Christ. I want to tell you, Jesus is seeking you. He wants to save you. He wants to love you, change your life, give you a home in heaven, help you repent of your sin, and then turn you to him. Maybe today you don't know Jesus and you need to give your life to Christ today. For us, we have those three names. Many of us do. We need to pray for them right now. We need to just, during the song time, just get on our knees and pray that God works on those people's lives. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. And God, in this time, I'm thankful that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. And Lord, we pray right now that you would help us, God, to be a church that really loves people and loves God, and that we tell people about Jesus. So Lord, in this time right now, just move in our hearts and help us to lay people in our lives right now. Lay people in our lives that need Jesus. If someone here doesn't know you, I pray today that they'll be saved today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, let's stand. We're going to sing. If you need me to pray with you, I'd be more than happy to.